Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You want wide receiver rankings? We got wide receiver rankings. Top 36 and some deep plays coming at you right now. TFA fam, welcome into the week 6 wide receiver rankings show. Like I said in the intro, 36 guys and some deep plays we want to get into. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Going to go over our consensus ranks for week 6. Kicking things off, our top 12 wide receivers: Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, Justin Jefferson, Mike Williams, DeAndre Hopkins, Jamar Chase, Deontay Johnson, and CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver 12 for us this week. Kev, if you have any of these guys, you're plugging them in. We don't really need to go into a lot of detail, but is there anybody in this top 12 that you really want to touch on?
Surprise, surprise. Let's talk about Terry McLaurin, you know, another Washington football team guy that we want to highlight here. He's kind of been hot or cold over the last few weeks, but he still has a 30% target share in this offense, 44.9 market share of the air yard, which is fourth most among all wide receivers. He's sixth in total air yards, third in deep targets, 17.4 fantasy points per game, 25th in yards after the catch with a 2.47 yards per route run. Now, he's had double-digit targets in 3 of the last 4 weeks, but if you look over the last 3 weeks, he's put up 10.2 in week 3, 30.3 in week 4 against that terrible Atlanta defense. Week 5, he only had 8.6 against New Orleans. Now, one thing that those two bad weeks have in common are just bad matchups. You saw a lot of Trey White in that week 3 matchup against the Bills, and then week 5, he saw a lot of Marshon Lattimore. So this week, you know, if you want to cure your blues, you just play the Chiefs defense. And the Chiefs are 32nd pass DVOA. They've allowed the 11th most fantasy points to wide receivers. And so Terry McLaurin is going to absolutely eat in this game. And so you are starting Terry McLaurin with absolute confidence this week. A big bounce back spot for him. Some people, you know, with his performance, maybe people are feeling a little bit leery with him. I would not. You should feel 100% confidence that Terry McLaurin is going to crush this week.
Another bounce back guy, DJ Moore. Both of us, he's in both of our top fives. You touched on the matchup already for Sam Darnold and the quarterback show, so I won't go too deep into this, but the numbers against, you know, quarterbacks and wide receivers alike look a little bit better than I think what they really are. We have to remember that Baker Mayfield barely went over 150 passing yards against his defense, and then they had Jared Goff, who barely went over 200 passing yards against this defense. So I think DJ Moore is in a bounce back spot. And then also Jamar Chase. It's so great to see him here. We've talked about this the past couple of weeks and how everyone was burying him with the drops and everything else. And it just hasn't mattered. Love seeing him in both of our top 10s. And I think we can go ahead and kick things over to our wide receiver 2s, where we can talk a little bit deeper on some of these plays. Kicking things off at 13 for us is Mike Evans, followed by his teammate Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown, Bobby Trees, Michael Pittman, Tyler Lockett, Cortland Sutton, AJ Brown, and then Adam Thielen at wide receiver 24 for both of us. So Kev, any of these guys in the wide receiver 2s that you want to go in on?
Yeah, I got a couple of guys, two guys that I really want to talk about here. The first one is Marquise Brown. Like, I feel like Marquise Brown hasn't got the respect on his name that he deserves. Nope. Because he has been, I mean, he's been elite so far this year. Yeah. You know, I mean, guys like Mike Williams are getting all the hype, but Marquise Brown continually is putting up just solid fantasy performances week in and week out. He really has one really down week. But he has a 24.5% target share. He is ninth in deep targets, 12th in red zone targets, which is encouraging, especially for his size. But he's averaging 20.7 fantasy points per game, which is third most among all wide receivers. He has 28 receptions for 451 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns, and he's 11th in yards per route run. Now, he has scored 19 or more fantasy points in 4 of the 4 weeks that he's played this year. But he's consistently ranked for most people as like a wide receiver 3 every week. It doesn't make sense. I don't know what else this guy needs to do. Now, this is a little bit of a tougher matchup against the Chargers. The Chargers are much more of a run funnel defense. They are 11th in pass DVOA. But I think this is a game that's probably, again, probably going to be a little bit of a shootout. And I think Marquise Brown is going to get his in this game. So I like Marquise Brown a lot. I think he's a solid wide receiver too this week. And the other guy I wanted to hit on really quickly was Michael Pittman. And again, another guy that you could have got really late in draft this year was going like a 9th, 10th round, but he has just been a really productive wide receiver so far this year. He does not have any wide receiver ones, but he's been right outside of that twice already this year. But he has a 25% target share, 36.7 market share of the air yards, and then 7 deep targets. He's 12th in red zone targets with 29 receptions, 368 yards, 14.5 fantasy points per game. Really, if you look at the weeks, I mean, he had 20.3 in week 2, 13.3, 11.9, and then another 20.9 last week. And he only has 1 touchdown on the year. So this could actually be a much better season than he's had so far if he can find the end zone a little bit more. We already talked about Carson Wentz, somebody we like a lot more. And this schedule is an absolute dream moving forward. And so if you can acquire Michael Pittman somehow, he's somebody that I would definitely be going out and trying to acquire because he is definitely the alpha in this offense. So I like Michael Pittman again this week. I think he is a solid wide receiver 2 option for a lot of people, especially with bye weeks coming. So I like Michael Pittman this week in this matchup against the Houston Texans.
Yeah, just really quickly to touch on Hollywood Brown. You mentioned he had that 1 dud week. And the crazy thing is that was against the Lions, and he had 2 basically what would have been touchdowns that he dropped in that game. Otherwise, we could be talking about someone who, you know, outside of just points per game, is in that, you know, top 3 wide receiver conversation. So it's crazy what happens when you allow someone who is, you know, as talented as Lamar Jackson is to throw the ball a little more often. Weird the way that works out. But 2 guys that I wanted to touch on really quickly. 1, Mike Evans. Basically just wanted to tell everyone who was saying to fade him this year, or for everyone who, like, he's someone else who just gets hate for no reason, just to suck a fart. That's really what I would like to say. At least 5 catches in 4 straight games. Only 1 game this year with fewer than 75 yards. He's currently 11th in both reception and yards on the year. He only has a 20.5% target share. But that doesn't matter whenever the Bucs are dropping back as often as they are. They lead the league in pass plays per game. And the crazy thing here with Mike Evans is he is 4th in air yards, and he's also 3rd in unrealized air yards. So there could be even bigger days and bigger games ahead for Mike Evans. And then the other thing I just wanted to throw out there, we were on Bobby Trees last week. We were telling everybody to not, you know, don't fade away just yet, to get him in your lineups. And he rewarded everyone who listened to us. It really felt like that he saw as many targets in that game as he had seen all year. And I think we see that continue going up in this matchup against the Giants, who can absolutely be had. So you're plugging him back in your lineup with confidence. So that's just somebody who I wanted to throw out there, someone who we can plug in with confidence again going into week 6. But moving on to our wide receiver 3s for the week, kicking things off with Chase Claypool going up against Seattle, Devonta Smith, Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Jacoby Myers, Manny Sanders, Tyler Boyd, Allen Robinson down here at 32, probably somebody who I'm going to be moving up in my ranks later in the week. T. Higgins, Marvin Jones, Odell Beckham, and then Jalen Waddle. Don't really know what to do with this guy at this point, but he rounds things out for us in our wide receiver 3s. Kev, 25-36. Who do you want to touch on in this range in your rankings?
Yeah, first I want to talk about Chase Claypool. I mean, obviously now it sounds like Juju Smith-Schuster is possible he could miss the entire year, the rest of the season, which would be big news for, you know, for guys like Chase Claypool and for Deontay Johnson, because it really kind of consolidates the target share a little bit. I believe James Washington's also banged up too. And so really, I mean, I think both of these guys, along with Najee Harris, are going to see a ton of targets. So with Chase Claypool, I think that, you know, in this matchup against Seattle, the Seattle released Trey Flowers today, which you hate to see it because Trey Flowers was great for fantasy purposes. An absolute sieve, a terrible corner. But anyways, it doesn't really scare me whoever else they have in the secondary. So, yeah, especially when you have Geno Smith at quarterback, as going to be quarterbacking the Seattle Seahawks for the foreseeable future. But I do like Chase Claypool this week. You know, he has really bounced back after kind of a slow start the first 2 weeks of the season that he had weeks three and week five. He had 18.6 and 24 fantasy points alike. So I think it's big wheels up for Chase Claypool moving forward, especially with Juju Smith-Schuster out of the way. And so I like Chase Claypool quite a bit in this matchup here. The other guys I want to hit on really quickly, Allen Robinson is the most maddening player ever because it just doesn't seem like they want to target him all that much. You know, I mean, he played 81% of the snaps last week, 20 routes, which that's all they threw the ball for. So he ran around on every route. But he was targeted five times, which was 25% of the target share. But since they were not throwing the ball, you know, there's not been a lot of opportunities. He only has one double-digit target this year. That was week one where he was targeted 11 times. He has only 1 week of double-digit fantasy production, 10.4, which is week two against Cincinnati. Other than that, it is 9.5, 4.7, 9.3, and 7.2 for Allen Robinson. But to me, he is the ultimate buy low. Like, I think you could get him for absolutely nothing right now because people are just done with him. Nobody wants to play him. But I think that changes this week. Green Bay is missing most of their secondary. There's not anybody in that secondary that you're worried about that's going to be able to stop Allen Robinson. I think if this game, especially, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot more than 20 times. I can guarantee you that. And so if they open this offense up, I think that is better things for guys like Allen Robinson and for Darnell Mooney. So I am still on the Allen Robinson train. I am not giving up. I'm just going to keep going with this. I think Allen Robinson bounces back. I do think he's more of a wide receiver three-ish, four, or a high-end wide receiver four. But he's not the guy that, you know, the alpha that we all drafted him to be as of right now. But I think he will bounce back. He is too good of a wide receiver. He has played too damn well with guys like Blake fucking Bortles and all these other terrible quarterbacks that he's ever played with. So I think he gets it back on track. And if you can buy him, buy Allen Robinson, because I think at the very least, I think he bounces back in a pretty big way. And then Jacoby Myers. Had a little bit more of a down week last week going against Houston. You know, Mac Jones was not great in that game. He still was targeted five times. He did run 28 routes, 88% of the snaps, 4 receptions, 56 yards, only 9.6 fantasy points. Damn it, this guy can't get a touchdown. Like, he was on the one-inch line. He was right there. And I'm like, oh, he's finally going to get his first NFL touchdown. One-inch line. No. Nothing. So anyways, that's really kind of what's held back his production a little bit has been more so. He still averages 12.6 fantasy points per game, but he has zero touchdowns. That is what's holding him back. He is seventh in receptions among all wide receivers as well, which is great for PPR purposes. I like Jacoby Myers again this week. I think he's kind of a weekly, you know, low-end wide receiver three, high-end wide receiver four.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, he's somebody who I like a lot this week. The only thing that I will add on to that is obviously the only guy that you're worried about in that defense for in the secondary anyway is Diggs. He does not go into the slot. Their slot receiver, Jordan Lewis, is tied for the eighth most yards given up in slot coverage. So I think it's going to be a Jacoby Myers, Hunter Henry game for the Pats. Guys, I want to touch on really quickly here in this range. Devonta Smith, you know, after he started off the year really well, kind of had two dud games in between there. But over the past 2 weeks, he has gone 7 for 122 against your Kansas City Chiefs and last week went 7-4-77 against Carolina. Now gets a matchup against Tampa. We've talked about how you could throw in them. For as good as their front seven is, their secondary is atrocious, giving up the second most half PPR points per game to wide receivers. Devonta Smith has only had one game this year with fewer than seven targets, and I think that obviously continues in this Thursday night matchup with Philly sitting as 7-point home dogs currently. So I think he is somebody who you can absolutely go back to. Other than that, moving on to some guys that we have outside of this range. One guy, Darnell Mooney, he came back down to earth a little bit this past week, but that was because Chicago was absolutely controlling that game against the Raiders. Nice matchup here against the Packers. We've already talked about their secondary, and this is going to be a game where Fields and company are not going to be able to run the ball as often as they have been. I think they're going to be forced to pass. I think we finally see Justin Fields unleashed here a little bit against, Matt Nagy's wishes. I don't know what he's doing with Fields, but I think we see, a little bit more excitement out of that offense this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown, somebody, for the brand, someone I liked a lot going into this season, hasn't really gotten his opportunity. But now with Tyrell Williams still banged up, Quintez Cephas just hit IR. Over the past two weeks, he has 8 targets in back-to-back games, double-digit fantasy weeks. He's someone who, for waivers this week is kind of getting buried and kind of getting put off to the side. Whenever we're talking about the running backs and, some of the tight ends and, Kadarius Toney and guys like that, Amon-Ra St. Brown hasn't really been mentioned as much as I was expecting. But with all the injuries, I think we can expect him to kind of slide into, in 12-team leagues, kind of in that flex conversation. His ceiling is going to be limited because of the offense, because of Hawkinson, because of Swift. But I think, if you're looking for someone to give you a steady floor in full PPR leagues, I think you can look at Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I really don't mind him, especially with the injuries that they've had. And he kind of appears to be Jared Goff, at least as of recently, favorite target. So, in PPR formats, I think he does make quite a bit of sense. I also like Tim Patrick. He is somebody that's consistently made, has been at least a solid kind of wide receiver 3-4 option for a lot of people. So I think that's kind of where he stands for me this week as a wide receiver 4. Mecole Hardman, best week of the season last week, played only 68% of the snaps, but he ran 39 routes, which is the most he's run all year. 12 targets last week, 9 receptions, 76 yards. No touchdowns, but he did have 16.6 fantasy points. So, in this matchup where, we really love this matchup against Washington, I like Mecole Hardman as well. We'll see how much more Josh Gordon gets involved as the weeks go by. But for as things currently stand, I think Mecole Hardman is also in play. And then from there, I'm kind of interested to see now that the piece of shit that is John Gruden is gone, how is this going to transpire now with this offense? Are we going to start seeing more Henry Ruggs? Are we going to start seeing more Bryan Edwards, or at least scheme things up for them and get more targets for these guys who just kind of went by the wayside? So I'm not playing them this week, but I'm definitely, if those guys are available, and I know Bryan Edwards is available, I wouldn't mind rostering him as a stash right now, because I think that this thing's going to get a little bit nervous because Greg Olsen is still the offensive coordinator there in Las Vegas. But now with John Gruden, who I imagine was calling most of the plays, is gone, then I am interested to see how things are going to change here in Las Vegas with this offense. Do we start to see things happen a little bit differently? So I think that those guys are worth an add. And then I'll mention this, Kadarius Toney, kind of wild that, he is hurt with an ankle injury. And I mean, he played all the way until the end of the game, and then he got thrown out for throwing a punch. Like, I didn't see anywhere where his ankle was hurt. And then Joe Judge today was like, oh, well, we don't think it's a big deal. It's not season ending. Like, how does not big deal and season ending go into the same thing? Because, like, those are two widely different things, right? Like to say, like, oh, it's not season ending. Like, oh, whoa. Like, I thought it was not a big deal. So I don't really know if he's going to play this week or not. We'll see. Hopefully he does, because he finally had a breakout game. But, I mean, we can be looking at no Kenny Golladay, no Sterling Shepard, no Kadarius Toney, no Daniel Jones. Like, this offense really could be really, really trash. And, we could see Devontae Booker get 30 targets in this game because they have nobody else to throw the ball to. John Ross. John Ross season finally breaks out. He has had some flashes here this year already. So we'll see what happens with this offense, because, I have Kadarius Toney as a low-end wide receiver 3 right now. But if he doesn't play, man, this offense is going to be atrocious. We'll see what happens with everybody. The last guy I wanted to mention was Devontae Parker. I think he should return this week. He had a hamstring last week. He was playing really well prior to that. As long as he returns in a matchup against Jacksonville, great matchup for him. So I don't mind him as kind of like, I am ranked at wide receiver 36. So I do like him as well in this matchup against Jacksonville. So I think Devontae Parker makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, last two guys I want to mention really quickly from the same team, guys that we can't really trust on a week-to-week basis, Christian Kirk and Rondell Moore. Obviously, any game where Kyler Murray's a quarterback, you can plug these guys in. We thought Christian Kirk was going to be the more consistent option. Since week three, he has not been. Rondell Moore is the one who popped up last week. But on this season, Troy Hill in the slot is giving up the fifth most yards while playing in the slot and slot coverage. So either of those guys can go out and have a solid week this week. So I think you can plug both of them in. Not necessarily confidently, but you can feel a little bit better of it given the matchup. And, you know, like I said, Kyler Murray obviously playing the way that he is. So that is going to wrap things up for the week 6 wide receiver ranking show. Please hit us with a sub. Please give us a like as well. We are, you know, we're on that border of 2,100, moving on to 3K subs here on the YouTube channel. If you are listening on podcast, please leave us a rate and review if you have yet to do so. We appreciate all the support. And don't forget to check out Thrive Fantasy in the App Store or at www.thrivefantasy.com and use the promo code TFA to get a dollar-for-dollar deposit up to $100. And we'll see you guys over there.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.